Hello, listeners. This is Darren, and welcome to another episode of The Criterionist, a look at the Criterion Collection, one spine number at a time. This is episode 39, so I'm going to be talking about spine number 39, and that is Senjun Suzuki's Tokyo Drifter. Just so you know, I'm going to spoil all of this film, even though this is one that doesn't really need spoiling. Not really concerned with plot, but yes, I will spoil every film in the collection, every episode I do. So just be warned, just go watch the film first, or listen with caution. Let's get into what I know of the plot. So there's this man named Tetsu, and he's kind of a big shot gangster. Very good with a gun, very stylized with a gun, just... all-around cool guy, and his gang dispatches, I believe, is what happens, and he's just not a part of it anymore, but the bad guys, including Otsuka, is just after him, it feels like, and he just tries to survive. He goes rogue, pretty much, becomes a drifter, a Tokyo drifter, from the title of the film. It gets pretty confusing from there. He becomes a drifter. His girlfriend is always singing a song about him. I guess he's just trying to survive, and he gets into some fights, and then eventually he wins. I think I'll just go into some specific scenes. This is... like last week, I said Branded to Kill was so cool. This one was made a year before, and it's pretty cool as well. It's pretty, pretty wacky. More confusing, more wackier than, Branded to Kill. More funny. I laughed out loud more in this film than I did Branded to Kill, which is still pretty funny, but, this one's just wacky. Like, almost... some scenes turn into slapstick comedy. So I'll just talk about some of those scenes. There's this whole scene where the bad guys are in their lair, but not just in their office, I guess, talking. And it's in a dance studio, or a dance club. And every time someone opens the door, the loud dance music comes through, and it's very loud, and then you can't really hear anything, and then they close the door, and it just shuts off immediately, just stops, you can't hear it anymore, and last week I said, for Branded to Kill, the director, Suzuki, he made his own world, and in this one, he makes a whole other world, where these walls are so soundproof, you can't hear anything, but the music's so loud, when you open a door or a window, it's just blaring through, and it's surreal, and it's odd, and it's, it's right up my alley, so I absolutely love it. Let's talk about Otsuka, the main bad guy, always dressed in red through the first half of the film. He's wearing sunglasses, or he's always wearing sunglasses, but there's always a close-up on just the sunglasses, the movie's kind of proclaiming, like, this is his personality. He's cool, he's sneaky, he's hidden, you can tell he's very good at being the bad guy. I don't know, that's always like, it's funny, and it is just odd. I don't know, this is a very crazy film. Then there's a whole, almost a montage of very confusing fight sequences, where Tokyo Drifter, no, that's not his name, Tetsu, he's walking around the snow, and he, like, runs into a guy on the train tracks, so they're kind of doing that old Western Mexican standoff where they're just looking at each other. But in this scene, they're on the train tracks, and the train is coming. Tetsu kind of jumps to the bottom of the train tracks, jumps to the ground and starts shooting, and then the scene ends, and it's I don't know. I heard hit Suzuki's budget was slashed for this film because he just will not listen to the studios. So maybe he didn't finish, but it seems like there's more of a choice here. Like oh yeah, he got out of that one because it immediately cuts to our main guy just walking in the snow again, whistling his own tune. And it's just like, oh yeah, he won. I don't know how. It's impossible, but he did it. Another one, there's a room full of people with guns and swords. And you feel danger for Tetsu, even though you know he's going to be fine. Another, like just like last week, another character you know is just going to be perfectly fine for most of the film. He's walking to this building, and you think, like, oh no, he's gonna get hurt because it's not expected for him to know anyone is in this building. But he opens the door and then immediately hides, and people are shooting. And then he runs in and basically takes care of it, takes care of everybody in that room except it. The scene cuts out yet again, and it's just like, wow, what is going on and why? Why are you doing this? But I think it's like showing like. You don't need to see these fights, even though what we see are pretty cool. You don't need to see him. You know he's fine. I'll talk about his girlfriend, who throughout the film is singing a song about a Tokyo drifter, which this seems like a play on James Bond. I've been watching the James Bond franchise recently, and there's always the big song from Russia with Love is the last one I watched, and that has a big song in it, and there's usually like Skyfall a few years ago had Adele sing it, and there's usually a big song, so this one just has it, but in the film, and the wife sings it, or the girlfriend, I'm not sure what she is, she's probably a girlfriend. But she's always singing about it, even before he becomes a drifter or proclaims himself to be one. I find that funny and, again, odd. But right up my alley, these two, Branded to Kill and Tokyo Drifter, are definitely right up my alley. So in one scene, the bad guy with the sunglasses, Atsuka, he like, interrupts a song and says, "Will you sing for me?" And, like, beats up another guy and, like, says, "Sing for me right now," like a villain would. But it's just so weird that he interrupts a song that seems to be almost part of a musical. It's set up to be, like, part of a musical. This isn't happening in the reality of the story. But then it ends up it is. Because then, like I said, Tetsu is just whistling his own tune. Whistling the tune to the song Tokyo Drifter. And... that's how you know he's ready to fight or other stuff like that. So there is one part where Tetsu gets shot and he's saved by a man who we think were, well, I don't know, but I think we are supposed to think he's working for the bad guy with the sunglasses. But he shoots him. I think he shoots him and then saves him and then heals his wound. His nickname is Shooting Star. Everyone's got a little nickname. His is Shooting Star. This guy's awesome. I think he trips. He trips our hero, Tetsu, and then goes and heals him. But before that, he's outside where attackers are coming after Tetsu, and he just trips him. That's... I think he throws a few punches, some martial art movements, but it's mostly just tripping, and it's pretty funny. I can't... It's the biggest laugh in the film for me, and it's also really cool. Like, oh, this guy just feels like tripping people, or he has one skill, and it's tripping people, but he's very, very good at it, and that's just an amazing choice. The director made or the writer, I believe he wrote this. as well, but yeah, just a weird choice, and I absolutely love it. Yeah, then there's this, I don't know the plot points in this, but there's basically two more fights. There's this saloon, which it's a saloon, but they reveal that by showing a sign, but there's someone in the way. So it's like, why is there someone in the way of the sign? That's just another comedic choice, I believe, by the director. And then a brawl breaks out in this, just like it would in a Western, and people are just hitting each other with chairs and stuff. And then that scene ends with like Tetsu pretending he's been shot or something. I can't quite remember. And then another guy just killing himself, but I frankly don't know who that was, but the guy killing himself helped our heroes, it feels like. What a weird, dark way to end a pretty. That's when it gets the most slapstick, is in the bar scene. There's like girls talking English. This is in Tokyo, Japanese. So the whole film is spoken in Japanese, but then girls start talking English and then like hitting people on the head, like in unison, like synchronized. And it's just funny and weird and goofy. But then there's the scene, which is just the final battle, which is in a room that's all white. It just looks like someone made that room to have the final battle in, instead of someone going into a room that looks realistic. It's definitely stylized and doesn't bug me much. There's stuff that happened. Two of the things that happen in this scene are someone gets shot and drops their gun on a piano, which makes a like a dun sound. Then this amazing, hard to explain thing where Tetsu like throws a gun up in the air, but you're not sure why. Then he runs over, catches it, and shoots the bad guy. Definitely confused me and confused the bad guy because he's dead. Then Tetsu tells his girlfriend he has to leaves, and then the movie ends. And those are some of the best scenes I've ever seen, definitely in a long time, maybe of all time. This is a great movie. Can't decide whether I like Branded to Kill or this one more. They're different films, but in the best way possible. I would talk about the themes, but I think I just did. This is a film of a filmmaker who needs to be weird, be silly, and just get that out and put it into the form of art. I love when movies are more artful than just story and drama and conflict. I like a good story. I like a good action movie or a good drama, which has conflict and then resolution. This one kind of does, but it's more focused on being just weird. I'm gonna recommend a movie called Why Don't You Play in Hell? It seems to be influenced by this director quite a bit, especially in Tokyo Drifter. It's that one's crazy as well. There's a, I don't know, there's a whole fight sequence where like a guy gets his head cut off and then gives a peace sign and falls over. I don't know, just crazy stuff like that. Again, martial arts and action and gangsters in that film as well. So yeah, if you like this film, or if you like Why Don't You Play in Hell, go watch Tokyo Drifter, vice versa. So yeah, not much themes except maybe a persuasive visual essay for abstract art. So yeah, let me get into the conclusion, what I thought about the film. Obviously, I love it. Been saying that the whole time. Not all of these films work for me, like, oh, you're too weird, you're just trying to be weird, to be different. This one, gleaming with confidence in its weirdness, gleaming with just self-assurance that he's doing the right thing. And yeah, it worked for me. I hope these last two episodes convince you to go watch these, because without the Criterion Collection, I would not have heard of these films. And frankly, with, 700 films in the catalog, it's hard to, pick and choose which ones you want to watch next. So going in order, I'm glad I've seen a bunch, and especially these last two. I would have taken me a long time to get to them, and I finally here, and they're amazing. Probably going to pick them up the next sale, if I'm planning too far ahead, the Barnes & Noble sale, that is. But yeah, a lot of fun, crazy, weird, so many colors. Okay, the last one was in black and white. I'll talk about the colors in this one. The colors were, so bright and so precise and picked out, even though there's, a lot of snow in this film and a lot of dark, there are a lot of strange color choices and cinematography choices that I just admire so much. And I love any song, movie which has a song in it that is part of the story, because that doesn't make sense in reality, and I just love when films do that, like Once Upon a Time in the West with the harmonica guy playing himself in every time he goes to kill someone. Definitely love this film. Please go watch these two, Branded to Kill and Tokyo Drifter. They're definitely up there. Excuse me. Definitely up there in my favorite films of all time. But yeah, I guess that's it. You can follow me on Twitter at TheCriterionist. Listen to my other podcast, The Rosebuds, with my friend Andrew. You can find that on iTunes, Rosebuds being one word. Leave a review. Leave a review of this on iTunes. I'd love to hear some feedback. If you want to send me feedback without leaving a review, email me at darincriterion14@yahoo.com. That's Darin. Criterion14@yahoo.com. And I'll get back to you. Read my movie review blog, schmuckforlife.wordpress.com. Lots of stuff going on over there, doing the James Bond franchise and the Friday the 13th franchise as well. Thanks for listening. Have a good night.